Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Very good. And I think today we'll start off with talking a little bit about what's going on in the economy, because there's always something going on. And just about everything affects the economy, even foreign policy and even coronavirus policy. And the last recession and the permanent recession we're in now, that has a lot to do with it, too. So there's a lot out there that needs dissected. But unfortunately, the people who know and warned about this coming are still in Washington, and they say, well, it didn't work, but maybe if we do a lot more, we need to spend more money, we need to print more money, and they think that everything is going to be okay. But the statistics aren't too good. You know, the unemployment rate is horrendous. It's hard to even get a real number on this. But you can look at things that are pretty much what the market is telling us. If you take the price of the metals, is one thing, you know, price of gold on silver. But sometimes if you just look at a spot price or a futures price, it's not necessarily the number that you'd pay if you wanted to go get some, because there's always some markups going, but at least you get a gist of what's happening. And the dollar has become very weak over the many, many years and very unstable, even though a lot of people have made a lot of money off the inflationary psychology that goes on. But right now, if you look at it, if you look at gold as a measurement maybe of what the dollar's going, you say, well, who's in charge of the dollar? Is it Treasury? Not really. The people are in charge because they're demanding so much free stuff. And then the deep state demands it because they have wars and things to do. But also, the Federal Reserve is the instrument that they use. And when the Federal Reserve came into being back in 1913, they inherited a dollar that took $25 to an ounce of gold. And $20 to an ounce of gold. And that didn't last real long, and that was 1913. So finally, when they got us all into trouble in the 1920s, then the Depression came upon us, and Roosevelt came in. They took the gold in from the American people, took the gold price immediately from $20 up to $35, and it took up until 1975 for the American people to regain their right to own gold. So there's a little bit more market play going on now. But when we have these crises going on, gold does reflect it, and there's a lot of fixing done, a lot of buying and selling, and if things are going too fast, I think they can rig it, but ultimately, long term, the market finally speaks out. And right now, we see gold speaking out and the dollar not doing well. The dollar's been the king for a long time. It's been, you know, against all the other currency, it looked pretty good. But right now, in these past several months, it's gone down 6% against in a basket of currencies. It doesn't sound like a whole lot, but maybe that's a trend. And if that is the case, that's once again, we're seeing people challenging the dollar. And I think you'll see prices going up a lot more of the metals. Today, gold is around $1,900 and silver is $22, $23. But it's been there before. Gold was up up at this level, $1,900, back in 2016. And 2016, though, there was a breakdown and it's been going down. And finally, since it's resorted to going up again, we've seen a surge in it. And ultimately, gold and silver are havens. But that, it's also an indication of where we are on world affairs. And right now, it's very shaky. But I think the whole world is very shaky. But I think it's more than just the dollar. I think it's the world economic system that is in very shaky territory. And why I fear that, and we'll talk a little bit more, you know, about China and what's going on there. But this war we have with China, you know, the trade war and everything, I think that's very, very bad. And I think what our markets are signaling to us now is beware of what's happening to the dollar, but also be aware of what's happening to China and American relationships, because it's getting really pretty rough, and it's sort of inviting a problem. And unfortunately, those problems that come out of a disrupted economy is usually some type of a war. So we live in dangerous times. Unfortunately, the people who are running the show pay no attention to what the solution would be if you lived in a free society, but there's not many people in Washington that care about that. Fortunately, though, we've reached a few. They join us on our program, and believe me, there are a lot of people out there that like to see a change, but right now, the people in charge of Washington and the deep state and the Congress, they can terrorize us, scare people, have people go along with the lockdown and just bow to whatever the demagogues are saying because they can build up the fear. But so it's a job of the people who know and understand this is spread a message around and say it doesn't have to be this way. There is a better way. And Chris, that's what I'd like to keep visiting with you on.
Yes, Dr. Paul, and you are right. Ever since 1913, the Fed has been nothing but trouble. They were the ones who set the stage for the Great Depression, and today they are setting the stage for a even greater depression. And we read over at Zero Hedge that the U.S. Treasury is sitting on a cash balance of $1.8 trillion. And, you know, we hear in the news all the time, stimulus, stimulus. Politicians are talking about trillions like they're settling a lunch check. It's insane. And but it doesn't, we have to keep reiterating this. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It matters how much the money buys. And when the Fed counterfeits money by the trillions especially, you're going to buy less with the money. And politicians are notorious for always doing the wrong things. So when prices start to rise, you can be sure that they will come and institute price controls. And price controls lead to empty shelves. And again, it doesn't matter how much money you have if the shelves are empty. We just went through this with this with paper towels, with toilet paper, with eggs and beef. You could walk into the supermarket and say, I have $100, I want some eggs. And they'll say, well, good for you and your $100, there are no eggs. So this is the whirlwind that the Fed creates and that the politicians pile on. And they've set in motion, you know, a lot of trouble that's going to be ahead.
All right. You know, there was an article not too long ago in Zero Hedge, and the title was Jack Ma, a very wealthy Chinese investor and who established and made a lot of money with Alibaba. But the article said that this signals the start of de-dollarization, which means more shifting away from the dollar and using the yuan. And we know that is the case. We know the Chinese are buying gold. We know that they are in a powerful position. And we also know there's a fear of it, because when you think of the noise going on between our government and China, there's a lot of contests going on. Now they say, well, no, it doesn't look like we're really going to have a military confrontation, but we're doing things that I think are very dangerous, like sending huge navies and planes over near the borders of China. You know, that is just very dangerous. But I definitely think that we're in the middle of, and it's been accelerated, but it's really been going on for a long time. That is the decrease in the dollar being the reserve currency of the world. But it certainly has accelerated. And I guess maybe a little bit more than I might have anticipated, you know, with this crisis. It's a worldwide crisis, and there was people did go to the dollar, and it is a type of haven. But I think that the de-dollarization is certainly on the way, and it has a lot of ramification. So we think, it's news today, the gold's up to $1,900. But total de-dollarization, I mean, nobody knows what it would do. But one thing we know, it will not restore order to the economy, because what we need is an understanding of how the markets are supposed to work in a free society. And that is, you get capital from people working and having a little bit more than what they consume. But today, nobody looks at it that way. They look at it, where does the capital come from? Well, it comes from the Federal Reserve. And that's why they can spend $3 trillion in these few short months, and then argue over whether the next printing should be for $1 trillion or $2 trillion. And they make that equal to capital, but it's not capital. It's just a dilution of capital. It's a distortion because we don't even have the guidance of the interest rates supposed to tell us what to do on saving and how to invest and what do we have to do right now. A lot of the investments, if you look at housing and what people are doing and the way they're moving and trying to save themselves, it's a result of a combination of things, the distortion of the Federal Reserve, but also the insanities that are going on with the coronavirus, this fear-mongering that goes on. That is very, very serious, and people are panicking over. And lately, I've been listening to people and looking at people, and there's a lot of psychiatric problems developing. Young kids, and I just heard of a case the other day that because their child couldn't go to school and the circumstances or something, has been a prisoner, you know, in his own house and not seeing friends and playing outside or anything like this. And that is not healthy. So we have the economic and the social and psychiatric things. And if you add that up, I think it's a lot worse than the danger of the virus, which is a danger, there's no doubt about it, but compared to how many people have died over the years and over the last few years, even from influenza, it's not that much difference. Matter of fact, there's been some statistics that show that it's not as bad as it has been, but the hysteria is much worse. It's the worst that has been in my lifetime, and it's the worst that some people say it ever was. And unbelievably, it's worldwide, and it has a lot of effect on what investments do. You look at the cities now, they're moving out because we have the Marxists taking over and burning the cities down and the police endorsing it. At the same time, the wealthy people now, they want to get out of town, and they're moving out of town. So in one area of town, which has been in poverty because they've had too many do-good liberals running those cities. So anybody with a little bit of money left, even if they have a nice house, they're getting out of town and they're moving to the suburbs. So prices continue to crash, things get worse there, and then outside the city, prices go up. So that is not an orderly marketplace that's working. That is not, if you're in the housing business and you want to build houses, because in the market, you have to calculate what you expect the market to be and how many people are going to be buying houses and where do they want them. But that can change overnight, and it's politics mixed in with it, but it's also the disastrous results of a monetary policy that we've been putting up with. And it's amazing that people made fun, even the average Wall Streeter, they were making fun when they heard about the Marxists coming in and say, "Oh, you know what we ought to have? We need to more this modern monetary theory. When people need money, just give it to them." And people say, "Yeah, well, that's terrible, but they wouldn't ever do that." But I think if somebody sat down and started looking at this, they might say that we're well into this modern monetary theory, which happens to be an ancient theory, that fiat money has been used as a substitute for real money for a long time, and it doesn't work. It makes it work. It encourages special interests. Unfortunately, the instability too often leads to war, and that's one thing that the people should be very, very wary of.
That's right, Dr. Paul. I wanted to touch on what you mentioned with the huge $200 billion IPO in China and de-dollarization. And I think our viewers, it would be good to know that, the way empires work is other countries play along, not because they necessarily want to, but because they have to. Because the U.S. dollar and the U.S. military empire go hand in hand. One reinforces the other. One is there for the other. So if you're another country and you have a problem with the U.S. dollar, you're going to have a problem with the U.S. military. So in this environment, countries sit back and nobody wants to be the first one. It's not safe to try to get out of this. But once the precedent is set, and this what China is doing is big, a mad rush can happen for the door. When you think about just the other European empires that used to exist, whether it's the Spanish or the British, they had an iron fist over the countries, but once that door was open, they were tripping to get their independence. Just one after another was like a domino. And, it's reasonable to think that perhaps that'll happen with the U.S., that once it's safe to do so, other countries will want independence from the U.S. dollar.
Well, you know, the Chinese and the Americans right now are tit for tat in closing consulates and embassies. And we started off by closing the consulate in Houston. And then China's now retaliating and said that we have to get out of a consulate in China. And it's back and forth. It's still part of that trade war that we warned about and talked about. But it's almost now considered un-American to suggest that we not confront China. They are the monsters, and they are at fault. They've committed all the crimes. And when we kicked the people out of the consulate, you know, our Secretary of State said, well, there's a bunch of spies in there. You know what? He probably was right. There are a bunch of spies there. But they never say, all right, if you take your spies out, we'll bring all our spies home. You know, we're going to call all our CIA agents home as long as you get your spies out of it. You know, no, it's always one. And that's not to say that China is not a problem, but to have these trade wars and pretend that China has done everything from creating and spreading the viruses to the trade war that goes on, I don't think that's going to work out well, because I think it builds up more antagonism, and the economics will eventually drive us to more conflict, because history has shown that generally has happened in the past, but there seems to be no concern about that. It's blame. And once again, you know, right now, you're not very patriotic if you don't wear your mask where you're supposed to. They put a guilt trip on people, and they terrorize people. And that's the way right now is you don't hear anybody try to get a balanced understanding of what China's doing. I think it's fair to point out what they do, but to pretend that we're saints, that's what antagonizes people. And we've been doing it for a long time. And it really is part of the reason that it's a contributing factor to the de-dollarization, because it aggravates people. And people have been upset with us being able to issue the reserve currency of the world and then put on sanctions on everybody and anybody anytime we want and run our empire. So for some reason, people eventually get tired of that, where if you think you can dominate one country, dominate the world, yes, you can do it for a long time, and we have done it. And right now, though, I think this whole thing is helping to hasten the day when that dollar will no longer be king.
Right, Dr. Paul. I'll finish up by stressing that we need sound money and liberty, obviously. And we are Americans, so our concern is with the American government. There are the other countries may not be angels, but we have to watch over our government. We are citizens of our government, and we have big problems. We just look at what has happened since March. Authoritarians can take a bad situation and make it much, much worse than it has to be. And it's because they never think that they're wrong, but their outlook is wrong. They really believe that they can micromanage the world, and not just foreign countries. We talk about the empire. It's us too. I mean, we could see, look at what has happened since March. It's now August. They want to micromanage us too. But you know, what we need again is just the idea that's so simple, liberty. Be a human being. Your own life is enough for you to manage. You don't need to go and stick your nose in everybody else's business. And we see on the TV, Dr. Paul alluded to it, all the destruction, all the people that desire destruction, but we never see the multitudes that do not want destruction, that do want to live their own lives and don't want other people sticking their own nose in their lives. So we could have much more peace and prosperity with the ideas of liberty. And if people have a desire to micromanage something, micromanage your own life and stop right there.
You know, since this crisis hit, the Congress was not bashful, and they have been sending out a lot of checks, and a lot of people qualify, dead people qualify, and it didn't help the economy, but it probably slowed down the tragedies that are occurring. And people say, well, that's good, it was a good thing we did that. Not really, because where did the money come from, and is the pain and suffering going to be greater by doing this and not doing the things that you have to do? Because in next week or so, the checks are going to run out. Then what's going to happen? Well, you know, the Treasury, we've mentioned it, is the Treasury sitting with $1.8 trillion in the bank for And where do they get this? Well, it's from the previous authorization appropriation, which they have it lined up. But they had so much, they can't get it spent so fast enough. But it's there, sitting there, it will be used. But they're not working on trying to spend money properly, which is impossible for government. What they're doing is worrying about, when are they going to get the next trillion to deal with? So they're arguing, and Trump has his ideas how to get another bailout, increase the bailout. The bailout's going to occur, but how it's going to be done is argued over. So they'll keep doing that, but the sad part is it can't be beneficial other than just taking like a narcotic to make people feel better again. But so in this next couple of weeks when those checks stop coming, I would expect there's going to be an announcement of some sort. Don't worry, we are going to extend that. We're going to do this. Calm down. We will always take care of you. They won't say this, but they say, we now have fully endorsed the modern monetary theory. You bail out everybody and anybody whenever anybody demands or asks for anything. And never think about, do deficits matter? Well, some of us still think deficits matter. And they'll say, well, does printing money when you need it, does that matter? Oh, no, that doesn't. No, we would argue that does matter. And the history has been that countries have done this for many, many centuries, and it ends badly. Matter of fact, our country was started this way because they started with inflating the fiat continental dollar, and they went into runaway inflation. And that's why they worked real hard to try to put it into the Constitution to guide us in the future not to do what we're doing. We have the continental dollar, super continental dollar back in fold because we have computers that can do it. Back then they had to mint them. So it's a sad story that we're at this point, and the modern monetary theory is nothing more than a rehash of counterfeit money. It's illegal, unconstitutional, it's immoral, and it's horrible economic policy, except if you're on a drunken binge, some people are going to feel good about it. So what we'd like to do is get people to think about what's good, you know, for the future. And the only way you can think about it, at least for me it is think about the present, which means maximizing the freedom and liberty of every individual to make their own choices and have a voluntary society where everything is voluntary and cooperative without the government involvement in trying to tell us what to do with our lives, and not thinking that, well, if people get sick and there's a flu virus out there, what we need is Fauci and Bill Gates to tell us what to do. Bill Gates now is arguing the case that we have to have lockdown. We can't get out of our houses until the end of 2021. I mean, that's the kind of nonsense that's going on. So that is the reason why it's immediately necessary that we restore liberty. So I'm on the side of the people saying, open up, let the people go, let the people worry about it. There's going to be problems, but believe me, worrying about you know, Fauci and Bill Gates and all the other people is a much bigger worry, and we ought to realize it, because what they give us is always at the expense of our liberty. There's a better way to do it, and hope we have a very positive offer to people to look to what liberty is all about and freedom of choice. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.